I am Emmy Louie, and today's topic is about sickness. Actually, are you sick of touching, breathing, and eating poisons? What you can do. Our guest today is Dr. Doris Rapp. Dr. Rapp is a board-certified environmental medical specialist and pediatric allergist. She was a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the State University of New York at Buffalo. Dr. Rapp is the founder of the Practical Allergy Foundation in Buffalo and is past president of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. She is author of numerous books and publications, which include Is This Your Child? Is This Your Child's World? How You Can Fix the Homes and Schools That Are Making Your Children Sick, and Our Toxic World, A Wake-Up Call. She has dedicated her life to researching the substances which cause illnesses and behavioral changes in children and adults and for providing solutions to those maladies. Welcome, Dr. Rapp.
Boy, after all that, thank you. Let's see if we can help some of your listening audience today.
I want to congratulate you for all of the things that you have done. I know that you probably played a huge role in creating this mainstream movement towards the green building movement and just going green in general. I know you you are cited in many other books, and so I congratulate you for all the work that you've done. It's really
thank you. I must say that this whole movement about chemicals and how dangerous they are started in the 40s. I didn't hear about it until I'd been in practice 20 years in the 70s. And even today, there are people that do not realize how bad the chemicals are, and they don't realize that the chemicals are contributing to these epidemics of cancer, ADHD, thyroid disease, diabetes, learning disabilities, and things of that sort. And I think that it's wonderful that the whole world seems to be awakening now. Canada just came out with an 85-page report on chemical sensitivities and how it really is an illness, and these people really aren't psychologically ill. They're physically ill because of exposures in their home, in their schools, in their workplaces, things in the air, the food and the water.
Dr. Rapp, I've read Natural Cures by Kevin Trudeau, and he cited that there are four reasons why we get ill. And I have to say that this show is primarily, this feng shui show is really about mind, body, and spirit. And what we're talking about is really the body. And Kevin Trudeau furthermore says that there are four things that make us sick, is that we have toxins in our body, we have nutritional deficiencies, we also have, we're exposed to electromagnetic stresses, as well as stress itself. And so we are...
He is absolutely correct.
Yes. So we are basically talking about the toxins and nutritional deficiencies, mainly we're talking about that. So we're really talking about environmental illnesses, which is the air we breathe, and as well as the food we eat, which is what we eat. And then going back to environmental illnesses is what we breathe and what we touch. So we were talking about really smell.
Everything you meet in your environment.
It's really interesting. So it's those three senses that we're talking about. And so it's very interesting because I looked at one of your books, and I want to say that it's really, all of these books have so much incredible information that they're real tomes. They're just very...
They're good reference books. You've got a question, you look it up, and you'll find the answer in the book.
I want to say that you're probably one of the most researched of all my guests. You have done the most scientific research. And,
but let me tell you the one thing that would help people that are listening more than anything else. When you're feeling fine, you're bright-eyed, you're bushy-tailed, you feel great, and suddenly you feel bad, you're either a headache, muscle ache, joint pain, your heartbeat's irregular, something terrible is going on, you don't look like yourself, you don't feel like yourself, the answer is this. What did you eat, touch, or smell? If it's an odor, it causes trouble in seconds to minutes. If it's a food or pollen or a chemical, if it's a food or pollen or dust or molds, it may take anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. But if you just keep saying, what did I eat, touch, or smell before I got sick, you will come up with answers that everybody else has missed because nobody knows your body the way you do.
Yes, and you talk about the big five, right?
The big five has helped more people than you can imagine, and if you'll give me a couple of minutes, I'll go over it. Number one is that if you're feeling fine and suddenly you have some symptom you didn't have before, that means something's gone wrong. The second thing is you will look different if you're exposed to something that bothers you. In children, their ears get very red, but so do they get very red in adults. The cheeks get abnormally red. You develop bags under your eyes and dark eye circles. You develop wiggly legs. If it's a food that's bothering you, you may suddenly start to lick your lips. And you can also develop asthma and hay fever and typical allergies, but you may have muscle aches or joint pains or be unable to write or think clearly. The third thing that happens is your body sends out a general alarm if you get into something that bothers you. And what happens is your heart rate goes way up. So if your heart rate ordinarily hits about 80, 60 to 80, and suddenly it's over 100, you've got to say, what did I eat, touch, or smell? The same thing happens to your blood pressure, and sometimes the heartbeat will become irregular. But when the circulatory system or the heart system is involved, the whole body has gone into an alarm state and says, what in heaven's name did you just get this beautiful body into? Then the fourth thing you have to check is your breathing. If you develop wheezing or shortness of breath or have trouble breathing, you can easily figure out what's causing it. You can take asthma medicine the rest of your life, or you can start to get yourself a peak flow meter and figure out what happens. What's a peak flow meter? It's nothing but a little plastic tube, and you go, whew. If you blow 400 before you eat, and an hour later you breathe 300, it means that you ate a food that caused asthma. If you blow 400 before you go to bed and 300 in the morning, there's something in your bedroom that's bothering you. It may be the fabric softener. It may be your pillow, your mattress, your blankets, a scented product that your spouse has on their body or something, but there's a reason for it. And the last thing is your handwriting. This is particularly important for children. You're writing normally, and you drink a sweet sugar beverage, well, you might not be able to write within an hour. And you're writing, so I tell people that they need to check their children's handwriting and see where it changes. For example, they might find in one classroom in school at the end of the hour they can't write. Well, what's different in that classroom? Is it moldy? Is the teacher wearing perfume? Is the ventilation system not as good? But you can, so that's the big five. How do you look? How do you feel? What's your pulse? What's your breathing? And how is your writing?
Right.
Now, you have to figure out these five things, the big five, in relation to where there's a change. And this is easy. Is it inside your house that you have these changes or outside your house? If it's all over inside, think of ventilation systems, think of the carpets, think of gas leaks or pesticides. If it's in one room in the house, again, there's something different in that room. Figure out what it is. The other thing you've got to consider, the outside. Are you worse when you're outside and better when you're inside? The answer, again, is easy. Did they just spray in your neighborhood for the lawn spray truck just come through? Are they asphalting the street, paving a house, putting in insulation? Asphalting the street, painting, putting in insulation. But there's a reason why you're worse outside. Are you worse after you eat? If you're worse after you eat, it's almost always due to a food. Check those foods out. And in my books, I tell you very carefully how you can figure out which food it is. It's usually your favorite food, I might add. If you're a chocoholic, a coffeeholic, a colaholic, the first thing you do is stop those drinks and foods, and you'll definitely feel better. And then the last thing you have to pay attention to is chemicals. They can make you desperately ill in seconds. You walk by someone who smells a perfume, a car backfires and you breathe it, somebody comes in with perfume, or there's an insecticide or spray or something used in your house, you buy new carpets. So it's something inside, outside, a food or a chemical, and it affects how you look, how you act and feel, how your pulse is, how your breathing is, or how your writing is. And that's it in a nutshell. If you
wow.
understand those basic principles, you can figure out why you're sick when nobody else has figured out the answer. You can take medicine
wow.
or whatever.
I have a lot of questions, actually. You're one of your, how has things changed since you last published your biggest book? Have people gotten on the bandwagon? Are you happy with
I think the biggest, well, I got on Donahue with the one book, Is This Your Child? And I had 140,000 letters. And basically, I was talking about what I just said, the big five, and this is how you figure out why your child has a behavior and learning problem. And I'm very upset over the fact that they're giving those children drugs. Some of them are on Strattera, and 3- and 5-year-olds are having heart attacks, strokes, and dying from the drug, and nobody's ever tried to put them on a diet or change their house to figure out what's causing the problem. So this,
I have a very interesting question. You've done a lot of research. So when people hear about this and they haven't seen your research, I guess my husband is a physician, and he says that it hasn't been really proven. And it's really
interesting. Well, this is why I'm so glad the Canadian report came out. It's 85 pages of proof, but there's a lot of proof. Nobody can look at my videotapes. I videotaped every patient for over 25 years. I show that they come in perfectly normal, and they can write, and they look fine. And I put one drop of something, and don't tell them what it is, in their arm. And within a minute, they're doubled up with pain, or they have asthma, or they're aggressive and biting. They're crawling under the furniture. They can't walk. They can't talk. Their pulse changes. Some of them collapse. They can have seizures. And then you give them a one drop of a weaker dilution. The human body is so magnificent that within 8 minutes they come back to normal. And then you can say, if you get into this and you don't feel well, you can take a couple of drops of this medicine and put it under your tongue or by injection, and you won't get sick. It's just amazing. And I don't understand why that hasn't caught on, because it's like putting a mouse in a cheese factory. We never had it so good. In other words, in medicine, there's a lot of guesswork. It's educational guesswork and intellectual guesswork, but you're still guessing what is causing the problem. When an environmental medical specialist takes a good history, it'll take them an hour or two, but they'll narrow it down, and they will figure out from what I just told you, it's inside, it's outside, it's a food, or it's a chemical. And you get the patient to work with you, and they'll come in and give you the answers. And you put a drop of whatever you think is causing trouble, like dust or mold or pollen or a food, in their arm or under their tongue, and within 8 minutes they have their symptoms. So you can see a direct cause and effect. Taking one drug after another to control asthma is not the answer if your asthma is caused by a feather pillow or because you're drinking milk. For God's sakes, get rid of the milk. Get rid of the feather pillow. We've got to get common sense in medicine. Our biggest challenge is the fact that most people don't have insurance. And so the masses are not being properly cared for. We have to find fast, easy, inexpensive ways to help people who are sick. And I can tell you right now that if they went on the diet that's in my books and got an air purifier, within 1 week, most patients, 80%, would be significantly improved with only those two things. And then the second week, you add back the foods. You don't even have to pay for the air purifier. You can get an air purifier from Austin, which is a very good one that takes out dust and mold and pollen and chemicals, and you can try it for 1 month. If you don't like it, you send it back and get your money back. What have you got to lose?
What is the free air purifier?
Austin, It's the Austin Air Purifier. You can call 1-78-78-780, and she'll tell you about them.
78-780.
So you try it for a month, and if it's dust or mold or pollen making you sick, this will eliminate it. And if you go on the diet and it's your major foods, you'll be well in a week. Now, if you take away the foods to which you're very allergic, you will feel sicker sometimes the next 2 or 3 days. You might have a headache and aches, and that's sort of called withdrawal symptoms. But by the 4th or 5th or 6th or 7th day, you ought to feel better than you've probably felt in 10 or 20 years. Then the second week, you add the foods back.
What was that phone number again? I missed that.
1-800-78-78-780.
Oh, okay, okay, I got it. Okay, there
we go. Let me tell you one other tip that would help lots of people, if you don't mind. Make a list of your 5 favorite foods or beverages. What is it that you can't live without? I'm afraid that if you have a food allergy, you just wrote it down. You go off all of those things for a week and add them back one at a time in the morning on an empty stomach. You will be sick within an hour, and it tells you what is causing your illness. And when you get sick, take a half a teaspoon of baking soda and a quarter of a glass of water, and that will help to stop the symptoms.
Yes.
Baking soda.
Okay, so that's what you're saying. Okay. So there's no... Okay, that's great.
So you don't have to go to an expensive doctor. What I'm telling you is you can figure out a lot of answers without spending much in the way of money. You just have to put out enough to buy the air purifier, and then you get your money back at the end of the month. They're very good about refunding if you don't like it. But I've had mothers that put the air purifier in their children's bedroom because they have asthma, and they are absolutely... Pardon me? They are astounded in the middle of the night because they think their child died because they can't hear the child breathing for the first time. In other words, the respiratory distress is all gone.
I looked online for air purifiers, and they run about $500. Isn't that correct?
They're very expensive, but if you put an air purifier in your bedroom, and then you can, it's on wheels, you can move it into the family room at night, you can use it in 3 different rooms, if that clears up the problem, and you don't have to take medicine and you feel bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, it's worth it. And you get it on a trial basis.
There are 3 types of air purifiers I have seen online, ones that you plug in, ones that are on a table, and then ones that are they stand alone on the floor. So is there certain ones that you would recommend?
The one I personally use is an Austin air purifier. And many of the environmental medical specialists use that same one. They have cheaper ones and more expensive ones. If you have terrible chemical sensitivities, you're going to need the more expensive ones. But there are a whole range of them. When you look up the air purifiers, most of them claim they will take out 99% of the dust and the mold and the pollen. In my mind, the thing that you have to be concerned about is the chemicals. You want to get the chemicals out of your house, and don't buy a synthetic carpet. Oh, one thing is, if people will, I've got a sheet of paper that has 27 tips.
Yeah, Dr. Rapp, I can't hear you very well, and we're going to take a break right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
This is the Emmy Louie Show, and this is Emmy Louie. Hello, welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and we are talking about, are you sick of touching, breathing, and eating poisons? What you can do. And Dr. Rapp is on our show, and she's a board-certified environmental medical specialist and pediatric allergist. So, Dr. Rapp, we were talking about air purifiers. Do you want to go on to another topic, maybe chlorine?
Well, I want to add one thing, and that is if you've got a concern about chemicals, you get sick when you smell chemicals. You get sick when you put gas in your car. You get sick when they're spraying the lawns in your neighborhood. If that is what is happening to you, then it means you probably need an air purifier that's more expensive, and it has to contain charcoal or a charcoal-impregnated cloth that will pick up all the chemicals and get them out of the air in your house.
Okay. Okay, so since we're on the topic about air, what about, you talked about like gas, like running buses or anything like that?
Well, many people are sensitive to gas fumes when they put gas in their car, but if they get caught in a traffic jam and they're exposed to all kinds of chemicals from the exhaust, they become very ill. Many people are ill their whole life, and they'll know that they have a gas leak in their house, but they never bother to find out where it was coming from. That's, incidentally, frequently a cause of chronic arthritis and headaches, is a gas leak in your kitchen stove or your hot water tank or your furnace. And these things, again, can be helped with water purifiers. I think if I wanted to put it all in a nutshell for anybody that's listening, if you want to get well and chemicals are a problem, number one is you have to stop the chemicals from coming into your body. And the way that you do that is you eat organic food, you drink pure water, and you don't bring things in that are synthetic, like carpets and things that might hurt you into your house. The second thing you have to do is get rid of the chemicals that are already in your body. It gets stored in your breast fat. It gets stored in the fatty areas of your body in particular. And these things can make you very sick, and there are ways of getting your body to excrete these chemicals in your urine, in your perspiration, in your air, in your bowel movements. And the third thing you simply have to do is build up your nutrition. Each cell has to have the calcium and the magnesium and the sodium and everything it needs to function well. And if your cells aren't healthy and normal, your body can't heal itself. We spend a lot of money buying drugs and things like that, but the body will heal itself if you take away, if you got a nail in your shoe causing a sore in your foot, take out the nail. If you're sick because of a feather pillow or a chemical or your cosmetics or something, stop using what's making you sick and then get rid of the chemicals in your body and build up each cell so that it's got what it needs, and you're going to be healthy, not sick. And you won't be on drugs.
If you're at the gas station and you're filling up gas, is that dangerous?
Sure. And so you should always stand in such a way that you aren't breathing the fumes. If the wind is blowing in a certain direction, I move the other way so that the wind blows in my face but doesn't blow the gasoline fumes in my face.
So when you actually go to a gas station, you actually plan out where's the upwind of the gas
station? Well, if I smell a gasoline, I move where I'm standing. Or I just click
yes.
the clicker and
so
let
in other
the gas
words,
go in
you
and
smell
I'm on the other
the
side of the car.
That's probably the benzene, right? If you smell it,
well,
that's probably not good,
they
right?
They also put other chemicals in the gasoline at different times of the year. And let me tell you right now, if you don't own a Prius, go out and buy one. You'll get 50 miles a gallon of on your gas. It'll cut way down, but that car is in the electric mode most of the time. And it will save you lots of money and cut down on the pollution of the air and the pollution in your body.
What about nail salons?
I was
just in one this morning. I was just thinking about that.
They are absolutely terrible. Not only the nail polish, but the nail remover is very toxic.
Acetate.
And remember, you have a direct line from your nose to your brain. The chemicals go right into your brain and damage your brain. And so marking pens, various types of glue, paint, there are just a million chemicals. But fingernail polish is particularly bad. I understand they have some less allergenic fingernail polish at health food stores.
So what can women do?
You might want to check into that.
What can women do, I mean, if they're getting their nails done?
I think maybe you have to think about not getting your nails done.
Your nails done?
I don't get my nails done because I don't like the smell of the polish. And the other thing is, even if you go in a regular beauty parlor, the smell of the chemicals is so bad. You want to always be the first one in the morning before the place is filled up with so many chemicals.
Oh, the first one in the morning.
And
that's a good reason because I want to get my nails done first in the morning.
Yeah, because
probably better.
Well, there's less chemicals at that time. And if you put a fan up and blew the smell in the other direction while they're doing your nails, it would be far better.
Well, my heart goes out to those people who work at these places.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you're pregnant and you're exposed to those chemicals, your chances of, number one, having a stillborn is increased to 70%. In other words, you may have one miscarriage after another because the chemicals will damage the baby before the baby develops. But people have to be very careful. People that work in beauty parlors, for example, are very prone to develop cancer.
Well, you know what I'm amazed at is that I actually designed a salon.
Yes.
I'm an architect, and I noticed that the HVAC system didn't change. I'm surprised that these salons are even operated. I would think that they would be illegal. I mean,
they are very toxic. It's one of the most toxic places that you can work is in a beauty parlor or a salon.
Well, what
they
I
have
think
a
is
lot
interesting.
Of, a lot of cancer in the women that work in there.
In regards to like the land use, we rezone things as industrial and business and everything. It's surprising that nail salons are not zoned a different way, because
well, I think eventually they will be. It's just like dry cleaners used to be in apartment buildings, where they don't allow it anymore because the main chemical that they use causes lymphomas or cancer of the lymph. And we now have green cleaners, and you find out where the green cleaners are because the chemicals won't, toxic chemicals won't be in the clothing. If you must use a regular cleaners for a suit or something, never, never, never store it in your closet. Air it out outside and then store that, take the bag off the clothing and store it in the spare bedroom.
Yes, I heard that you're supposed to air it out for 48 hours.
Oh, you've got
outside.
To air the clothing out because this chemical, there is no doubt, certain things cause cancer. And in my book, Our Toxic World, A Wake-Up Call, I tell you what the substances are that cause cancer. And I have a sheet that you can get that has 27 tips, and it tells you, don't use Teflon, because when you heat the Teflon up high, it gives out chemicals. It'll kill a bird in an hour or two. It definitely is toxic. They're finding Teflon in the uterine fluid now. Should we be concerned? Yes. We don't want DDT, PCBs, Teflon, flame retardants, and all these chemicals in the uterus when you're trying to develop a baby. These
uh-huh.
chemicals are toxic. They damage the brain, the nervous system, the pancreas, causing diabetes. They damage the reproductive system, causing small sexual organs in males. They cause all kinds of terrible things. We have to start to protect everybody, and particularly the very vulnerable, which are the infants that are in the uterus, the newborn infant, the elderly, women when they're pregnant. All these people are very prone to get sick if they're exposed.
What about carpet cleaning? That's another thing that...
Carpet cleaning, you go to a special cleaners. It does it environmentally safe.
Yes, and I'm amazed that people still have their carpet cleaned regularly in a conventional way.
Well, I think it's because they don't know, but people are still buying synthetic carpets. Now, I bought my carpets, and in my books, I tell you where to get safe carpets, but I got my carpets from Denmark, and they had no smell when they arrived. In my books, I describe families where they just put in synthetic carpets. In one case, the woman was pregnant and the baby was sick from the moment the baby was born. In fact, I didn't think the baby was having seizures and couldn't even climb up a set of stairs when she was 3 years old. Just very, very sick. The family's been sick for 15 years, and it's all because they put in carpets that were toxic. They were told, these carpets have a smell, but it's going to be all right. Don't buy a mattress or a carpet that has a bad smell.
It's rather interesting. Mm-hmm.
They're now putting boric acid powder on mattresses as a flame retardant. I don't know who got that brilliant idea, but boric acid has a sign on the bottle, if you buy a bottle of it, saying it's toxic. You use it to kill cockroaches. You can't breathe it because it irritates the lungs. But it kills you. You're not supposed to have it near your dogs or cats. Why would you put 2 pounds or a pound and a half on the top of a mattress, even if it's covered up with vinyl because it's a child or toddler's mattress? The chemical is going to come through the mattress. This is absolutely crazy. And July the 1st, that the government has mandated that every mattress that you buy must have the boric acid on the surface. Well, children and adults bounce up and down on mattresses, and this means that everybody is, well, I think a lot of people, I can't say everybody, but I think many people will become ill, and you do not, if you don't want to buy a mattress that has this chemical on it, you go to your doctor and say, I need a note saying that I am, that you're recommending a mattress that does not contain boric acid, and then you can get a mattress that's safe.
Yes. What about the new car smell? Is that, that's off-gassing, isn't it? When you smell
what?
the new car smell.
Oh, the new cars are very bad. I mentioned that in one of my books. The new car smells are so bad that some people can't buy a new car. They have to buy one that is it has been sitting in the lot for a year. Other people leave the doors wide open and leave the put a fan up and try to air out the car, but the cars are filled with toxic chemicals. And this, of course, is bad. And if your air conditioning in your car becomes moldy, they use a chemical in the car to clean up the mold, and you're supposed to wear a suit and gloves and a mask. Well, when you pick the car up from the auto repair place, you don't have on a suit, a mask, and gloves, you're going to breathe that toxic chemical. It's going to make you sick. This is what I say. The public has no idea how much they're exposed to things, but they are recognizing that cancer is epidemic, diabetes and thyroid disease, behavior and learning problems are epidemic, that there are more people that have twitches and problems walking and talking and thinking than ever before. Their head feels foggy. They can't think clearly. And again, the answer is, what did you eat? What did you touch? What did you smell? If you start to think about it, you'll know why you're sick.
Okay, I am Emmy Louie, and we're talking with Dr. Doris Rapp about poisons in our environment as well as our food, and we will be back.
Is that better? What was going on with my dogs? Yeah, I wanted to go, but I knew they'd be quiet as soon as they got there.
Dr. Rapp, I think we're still on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay. Okay. We'll move on, and let's talk about. Let's see. Okay, we talked about all the things that we smell. And then what about cleaning solutions?
Well, again, many cleaning solutions can make you sick. Something as simple as your scouring powder, you should try to use a Bonami polishing powder or Bonami scouring powder because it doesn't contain the chemical chlorine. You don't want to use things that are chlorinated because there's more and more evidence that this can cause problems, including in our tap water. And they're now looking at ways to disinfect the water that comes out of your tap without using chlorine or fluorides. Fluorides, incidentally, are very bad because these substances have been known to cause cancer and other illnesses that make it undesirable.
Well, you know what's interesting is that in my daughter's school, they have a water
purifier?
Cooler. No, they have a water cooler, and I swear, it probably has chlorine in it.
Well, they put chlorine in a lot of things, and at one time it was considered to be a great disinfectant, but the chlorine can combine with organic matter, for example, like dead leaves and things of that sort, and it forms chloroform, which is toxic. And so they're trying now to stop using chlorine in pools. And some of the more progressive cities are investigating other ways of purifying the water and getting rid of the germs without using chlorine.
Well, I also understand that when you take a shower, you are in your because your largest organ is your skin, and
right.
So You take in a lot of chlorine through your skin by taking a simple shower.
You're absolutely correct.
You should get a
shower head that takes the chemicals out.
Chlorine also scars your arteries, and that's one of the major causes of heart disease. Is that correct?
Now, I haven't heard of that, but I do know that the chemicals do go into your body, and they certainly can affect your circulatory system in your heart. There's no doubt about that.
What about fluoride? I mean, we brush with fluoride, too.
Well, fluoride is really not that good, and there are many things about fluoride that are bad, and there are more and more studies coming out showing that it never should have been released.
Isn't that so funny? That is so ironic, because you see in toothpaste it says with fluoride, and then I go to the health food store and it says, it's not fluoride, no fluoride.
You don't want to use toothpaste with fluoride. In fact, at one time on the toothpaste it said that you shouldn't allow your child to swallow more than a pea-sized amount of toothpaste if it contains fluoride because it's toxic. Well, I figure if a pea-sized amount is enough to hurt a child under 7 years of age, I don't want to swallow it myself. And how do you keep a child from swallowing a pea-sized amount of toothpaste when they're trying to brush their teeth?
So you're saying that as a kind of a safeguard is when children use the toothpaste is to just squirt out a pea-sized amount of toothpaste?
Well, you just shouldn't use a fluoride. I'd buy toothpaste only at the health food store that did not contain toxic ingredients. Even more important, I think, than the fluoride, or equally important, is aspartame. For goodness sakes, do not use aspartame. That never should have been released on the market. There were all kinds of studies showing that it was not good. In mice, it causes brain tumors and holes in their brains. In monkeys, it causes eye damage and seizures. It causes birth defects and diabetes and depression and weight gain. It causes weight gain. And because it causes formic acid to form formaldehyde, which causes cancer, it can cause cancer. So you should never, ever, ever buy anything with aspartame, in my opinion. You should buy a bottle of stevia, like the name Steve. It's a liquid or a powder. Some of the progressive restaurants now carry it as an artificial sweetener. And you just put a few grains or a few drops in whatever liquid or thing that you're eating, and it makes it sweet. There are different types of stevia. A few of them have an aftertaste. But basically, I use stevia all the time, and I carry it in a little bottle in my purse, and I would never dream of using any of the artificial sweeteners.
Gee, I wonder what else you carry in your purse.
Well, not a lot, but I always have my stevia.
You always have your stevia.
Always
and how
have
about
my
water? I'm sure you have water with you all
well,
the time.
Well, the water. Now, let's talk about water a little bit. If you are, it's best to store water in glass, but, of course, this is a pain when you're traveling. And living in Phoenix, you have to carry a bottle of water all the time. If you're going to carry it in plastic, you should look at the bottom of the plastic container, and there's a little number in the little triangle. If the number is 5, it means that the plastic that's used to create the bottle is not going to leach or seep into the liquid. You should never put water in a plastic container in the freezer, and if the plastic is damaged in any way, you should throw it out, because plastic is bad. If mothers are pregnant and they eat a lot of food or heat it in a microwave in plastic, they get too much plastic in their body in the form of what's called phthalates. If there's a little baby boy in the uterus that's starting to develop, the baby boy will have a smaller penis, smaller testicles, and be effeminate. If little girls are exposed to too much plastic, they develop breasts at 6 or 8 years of age and may have menses earlier than normal. Should we be concerned? I should think we would be concerned, yes. You know, you want a perfectly normal, healthy child that develops sexually at the right time. You don't want them to develop too early or too late. And plastics obviously interfere with sexual development. There's just no doubt about it, as do many of the other chemicals that we're exposed to every day.
Yes.
Let me give you another tip. Women should be careful to buy their sanitary products at a health food store because they tend to bleach women's products with a chemical called dioxin, which is related to Agent Orange. It was used in Vietnam. And if you buy your sanitary products at a health food store, the chances are greater that it will not contain this toxic chemical to make the products white. For a long while, let me just say that there is an epidemic now in the United States of endometriosis, which is an overgrowth of the lining of the uterus, which causes tremendous pain in women. Sometimes the uterus has to be removed. If you read some books, they say they don't know what causes it. Well, I'll be glad to help with that. If monkeys are exposed to dioxin, female monkeys, they develop endometriosis. If women work in factories where they make dioxin, they develop endometriosis. So I think that there is a relationship between exposure to dioxin and the development of endometriosis. So if you want your uterus to be healthy, I would say that you would be much better off not to use sanitary products that might contain tampons or menstrual pads of some sort if they contain that chemical.
So one recommendation is actually to go to your local health food store, or if you're going to a large chain supermarket, is to go to only the organic section, right? Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think that you have to say it's more expensive, and let me tell you something about that. The food is going to cost you more. There's no doubt about it.
But you know what? You don't have to eat as much because it's actually more the energy of the food is much more there.
That's right. It's more nutritious.
And I was amazed because even like just say ketchup, because high fructose corn syrup is considered not a good thing. And high fructose corn syrup, I have found, is in almost everything.
Yeah.
As a sweetener because it's inexpensive. And so I was looking at the ketchup, and I found out about high fructose corn syrup, we ate ketchup, and my daughter wanted to have a lot of ketchup, but when we got the organic one, she only needed half of that amount.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that what you see, like even like last night, we were eating organic chocolate versus non-organic, and actually I bought a chocolate bunny for Easter, and the non-organic one was a solid chocolate bunny, and it was large, but I got more filled up from the organic one that was much smaller. So if you think about it, you're getting twice much more value, not even twice,
the
of value when you buy organic.
The nutrient value is much greater, and if you can't afford the food, go to a co-op. Go to a farmer that's an organic farmer and offer to help pick the crops or do something.
But what I'm saying is that you can't compare it because for the same amount, you're getting much more nutrition and you're going to use it's more concentrated nutrition, whereas the other non-organic is probably not even nutritious to begin with. So there's really no choice in that matter. Because
well, I
try
think
out,
more and more people are using the organic food, and the organic food prices are going to come down. When you buy the meat, try to get 99% meat and only 1% fat, because remember the chemicals are in the fat, and get the free-range animals, the cage-free animal food, because that's much better, and the same for the eggs.
Oh, by the way, all of this stuff, I've been doing organic. And the beef is so much better when it's grain fed.
Yeah, the food tastes better when it's organic.
It tastes so much better.
No,
and you don't have this kind of. And it's interesting because going back to what you initially said, you said that after you eat something, think about how you feel.
Right.
And after you eat this organic stuff, you feel so much better.
Well,
and just think about how you feel, because I know as kids, when I was a kid, I really noticed how I felt. But after a while, maybe it was college or something, of the stress, and then I kind of forgot about how I felt after I eat something.
Well,
and now I'm only revisiting that thing about how you feel after you smell, eat, or touch something.
Yeah, I think more people are going to health food stores than ever before. When they check for pesticides in foods, they can find as many as 106, over 100 pesticides on certain types of foods. And they estimate that children under the age of 5 years are eating 8 pesticides a day. There are even pesticides in the baby foods unless you buy the organic. Safeway is a good store because they have organic products that they grow on their own land, and they have organic, a whole line of organic baby foods and toddler foods now that appear to be wonderful. So it's a good thing to know about.
Let's talk about, let's move to another subject about lighting, because I had this discussion with another guest about lighting, and they said that compact fluorescents are better than incandescents.
That a fluorescent tube was better than a light bulb?
Than an incandescent. Compact fluorescents are better than incandescents because they save more energy.
Well, they may save energy, but what does the electromagnetic energy that comes out of it do to you?
Well, I was saying that the compact fluorescents have mercury. Does full-spectrum lighting have mercury in it? Do you know?
I believe you have to buy special full-spectrum lighting, and there's a man named John Ott that's done a lot of studies, and he can fix the fluorescent lights by putting a certain gadget at the end that will help to make them safe. But incandescent lights are far, far better, and they're new incandescent lights that last much longer than the old ones.
You know, I heard about that because I think I ordered some.
I don't know if any of the audience knows about muscle testing, but you can stand under a fluorescent light and your arm actually becomes weak. And if you stand under a regular light bulb, it doesn't happen. And there are movies and videos of children who are directly under a fluorescent light, and they can't write, they can't sit still, they can't behave.
What about
full
spectrum?
Move them to another part of the room, and they're fine.
Can you go and buy these full-spectrum lighting at
yes,
like, the
I'm
hardware
sure
store?
Yes, I'm sure you can look it up under John Ott, O-T-T. And he's dead now, but he's done a lot of written many, many books on light and the effect of how light affects the cells. And he shows how different light, when you see the cells, the liquid in a cell goes around in a certain way in a clockwise manner. And if you put the wrong light on that cell, everything gets jumbled and starts going in crazy directions. And that means that that person is going to get sick. And we don't think about that sort of thing, but fluorescent lights definitely are, they may save you money, but money isn't, you
that's
get,
in
money
total
doesn't
contradiction
buy you good
with
health.
What I understand as the LEED requirements for buildings. That's in total contradiction.
It really is, and I think in time...
The lighting one, because in the last show, one of the shows, we talked about the lighting, and we kept on going back to lighting because that uses up a lot of energy.
Well, I must say I haven't got the answers for everything. I just think that
what
you
do you have in your house? Do you have more full spectrum and incandescents?
Actually, I try to put light bulbs in everything that I can. I do have some fluorescents in the kitchen, and actually, in Buffalo, where I had my office, I've got those shielded fluorescent lights in the basement, and I should bring some of the shields here and use it in the kitchen.
But so you're saying you can use fluorescent lights, but it has to have a shield on it?
You have to have this special attachment to it, and that stops the dangerous part of the plant, of the tube from coming out and hurting you. It's called a shielded full spectrum. I haven't looked it up lately, but it's a shielded fluorescent light, and it's sold by John Ott, O-T-T.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we actually, it's amazing because you answered all the questions that I was meaning to ask, but you answered them anyway. And then there's one more thing I want to ask you was about organic cotton, because I had a I know of someone who works at a cotton company, and he's an expert. He goes around the entire world, talks about cotton. He said that organic cotton is a bunch of meaningless words. He said that, how do you make cotton organic? And he said that. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, all I can say is that if you buy cotton, it should be organic if possible. It should definitely be washed at least once before you wear it, because they put different finishes on cotton. If it's cotton that doesn't have to be ironed, it means there's a chemical in it. I think organic cotton is unquestionably the best kind to use. I know one doctor who is very chemically sensitive, and he has to wash cotton products 25 or 30 times before he can wear them. Different people have different degrees of sensitivity, but some people are so sensitive that they would get sick if they tried to put regular cotton on their body. But most of us, fortunately, aren't that sensitive, but you should be careful to wash it, and you should try to buy organic cotton if you can. And I predict in the next few years there will be more and more clothing that says organic cotton, just like there's more and more crops now that are organic, and there's cleaners now that are organic. And they're going to even have golf courses that don't use pesticides that are toxic. The world is becoming better, but it's a gradual...
We're all in the name of convenience, right?
It's a slow transition. People want things fast and easy and inexpensive. And
we pay a big price for that.
Right.
We pay our lives for it, in other words. Thank you so much, Dr. Rapp, for being
Incidentally,
on my
I looked
show.
Up John Eitz Ott light bulbs, and they have them on the computer, so you just Google John Ott, and you'll be able to find out everything you need to know about lights.
That is magnificent. Dr. Rapp, you are definitely have so much information.
Well, I hope we've helped a lot of people.
And what is
today.
Your website? Where can people
The website
visit
is
you?
Real easy. It's just drrapp.com, drrapp.com. And I urge everybody to send me an email at, call 1-800-78-78-780 and get the 27 tips sheet. It tells you what to do about microwaves, what to do about aspartame, what to do about toxic
okay.
things in your house that you never
thank
dreamed
you,
about.
Rapp.
And I try to give you
We are
a,
at the end of our show, and thank you so much for being on our show. And you can visit me at www.emyloue.com. And you are listening to the Emmy Louie Show. And thank you very much for listening, and namaste.